Hi, and welcome to the Living Deeply Stories podcast. I'm your host, Meryl Parker, and today I'm going to be talking about my reading retreat that I had this winter, because I have been seeing a lot of things about the metaverse, and I watched a clip last night about it, and, you know, with all this social media turning to reels and video, and yes, all of this has brought up this desire of mine to talk about my reading retreat because, yeah, let me get started. So in winter, in July, in Australia, in Perth, where I am, I had a 1 month kind of winter holiday, which wasn't really a holiday because actually I was doing a lot for my home renovation. But anyway, I was not doing podcasts, and that was the end of season one, and now season two of this podcast. So during that time, I wanted to read more. And so I had, I don't know how long it was in the end, maybe just a week or maybe 2 weeks, that I decided I wasn't going to watch YouTube or Netflix or anything, and I was just going to read instead. And so what this gave me, what I realized through this, was that often I will watch YouTube instead of reading in the night, in the evening, because I feel tired and I feel like, you know, my brain just needs a break. But what I found through reading is that it actually invigorates me. And so it relaxes and then it invigorates the brain. So like things that I need to do in the evening, like wash the dishes or clean up or these kind of things, I feel more motivated to do. Whereas when I'm watching YouTube, it's when you're watching something, whether it be YouTube or anything like TV, movie, video, it puts you into a hypnotic state and your brain is actually functioning less than when you're sleeping. So then we don't feel motivated to do stuff afterwards, obviously, or to clean up or to whatever. And so, yeah, so that was the first positive thing I got out of my reading retreat, was that it just showed me how it actually invigorates me to read rather than deadens my senses and my brain, which TV often does. I mean, I'm not against TV. I learn so much from YouTube and from shows, and I enjoy it when it's good quality stuff, but sometimes I lurk into the poorer quality stuff, and I'm getting better at it, and I want to be a high quality person, so whatever I'm doing, I want it to be high quality. But I do love pop culture. I just do. And so I think this is fine. This is a good thing. Like, but as long as it's something that I'm happy with watching afterwards, then I'm fine with it. And also I want to make room in my life for reading because I'm a writer. So it helps me to expand my vocabulary and my storytelling abilities. And yeah, and it's just, the thing about reading a book is that it is just so nice to be alone with a book. It's just you and the book, and you can time travel. You can enter into another world, another person's thoughts, their mind, and you can just drown out the rest of the world. And I think that's so important in life today when we're being distracted by so much. I mean, if you think about it, like, there's not only Netflix, there's, I don't know, Stan, all the other ones as well, Disney Plus, all of them, YouTube, there's social media, and then there's, you know, there was Facebook and Instagram, but then when TikTok came along, or when Snapchat came along, then Instagram introduced stories to compete with that. And now that there's TikTok, now they've both introduced reels to try and compete with that. But, like, there's time for all of this, you know? And what do we miss in all of this consuming of content? So as I said, I'm not against giving your brain a break and being in that state. You are in the receptive zone, you're receiving, which is in the feminine state, but it's still in the mind. So that's the masculine when I'm talking about energies, and not truly in the body, which is the feminine, the receptive zone. And then, so who has time to watch all this stuff? And then what do we miss in the spaces between? So, you know, presence is a practice, and I also have to practice it. I'm not perfect at it either, and I don't think you have to be perfect at it. It's just these moments of presence that you practice, and then you're like, ah, yeah, that's right. That's the good stuff. So I've learned too that in order to be a successful projector, which I am in human design, that I need these spaces of presence and stillness in order for life, the universe, to deliver me opportunities. Because if there's no space, then there's nowhere to put these opportunities. There's nowhere to, if you're offered to do something, then if you don't have any time to do it because you're so busy consuming or doing, then where is the space for more abundance or more opportunities? So these are some reasons why I wanted to do the reading retreat, and I did it and I enjoyed it, and now I have gone back to watching more YouTube. But I'm gonna set the goal now. I was reading because I was like not watching TV, and the other thing with that is that then you like look more at things, like look out my windows, or you know, be like, oh, you know what, I might do some vacuuming because it's more interesting than, yeah. So I started reading books from the past, like called Wuthering Heights, which was a book I had for ages and I hadn't read. It's my friend Brooks, and I had been meaning to. I wanted to read it for ages, and now I read it, and it's just so nice. The time, you know, it's set in England, and walking across the marsh to the other estate, you know, and these people, they just sit and look out the window. They don't have much going on, really. Very simple life, and it's just such a holiday for the brain, and I loved it. And I love to read about that kind of thing when I was doing the reading retreat, because it motivated me, it put me in that mind space, I guess, that state of being. And yeah, and I loved it. It was an awesome book. And then afterwards I found D.H. Lawrence's short stories, and I've been interested in D.H. Lawrence since I had read, no, firstly from Anais Nin. So when I was 20, and I told this story in one of the first podcasts I did here, and it was about Anais. So Anais Nin, basically, she was the one who inspired me to write when I came across her movie, Henry and June, the movie based on her journals. When I was 20, and that set me on this path. So if you're interested in that, you can go back to its episode, one of the first episodes. And so she wrote a book analyzing D.H. Lawrence. And when I was in school, we did do some D.H. Lawrence poetry or something. But that was what I remember from Anais Nin. So she wrote a whole book on D.H. Lawrence. And then in 2020, I read Lady Chatterley's Lover, which is his famous novel. And I think it was banned because of, you know, being about a lady and her lover. Her lover was the gardener. And she was married to someone who had his legs blown off in the war, and then he couldn't walk and he couldn't have sex, basically. So yeah, that's the story. I recommend it very much so. Just so nice. And it's all about like the collieries, the collieries. It's set in the Midlands, like I think, yeah, D.H. Lawrence grew up there or something. And so, yeah, a colliery is a person, is a place where the coal is mined, and so there's all these colliery workers. And the same, so now after reading Wuthering Heights, then I was inspired to read D.H. Lawrence's book of short stories that I found at my ex-boyfriend's grandfather's house when the boyfriend's mum said we could go and collect some books the start of last year. So I got that one. I got D.H. Lawrence's short stories, and I picked it up because I wanted another book that was going to be take me to that place where I would feel like reading. So I read one called A Rocking Horse Winner, and that was really good. But now I've gotten stuck on the second one, which is called The Odor of Chrysanthemums. So I'm going to set myself the goal of reading one of these short stories every day so that I do read it. And if you're interested in reading more, then what I recommend too is setting yourself a goal that's measurable. So you say, like, I'm going to read for half an hour a day. And during that half an hour, you set your timer and you put your phone on flight mode so that you're not distracted. And you say to yourself, I'm not going, even if I, because the mind wants to distract us, you know, the mind wants. Comes up with suggestions like, oh, why don't you go and check that on social media? Or like, does that person still follow me? Or like, has that person unfriended me? I don't know, like, not just that stuff, but other stuff as well. But the mind will be trying to drag us out of the present moment, out of what we're doing, and into some other arena where we're more distracted because the mind is afraid of feeling. So the body is the one that feels, and when we can go to the body through the mind, and we can put our attention on our body, and all the feelings will come up and will be processed, all those ones that we are keeping down from since we were children, all these emotions that are trapped in there that come out in these like outbursts that we have, triggers that where someone might say something and it makes you unnecessarily angry or sad or whatever it is, but these are the repressed emotions that are being held down, and keeping them down there is what is making us look old, is making us have less joie de vivre, joy of life. And it is just by putting attention on the body that we will be able to feel our emotions. So there are many ways to do this, but I have created a guide. If you go to my website, the link is in the bio, in the description here, sorry, that it's for the Empower Guide. So I take you through a process to feel your emotions if you're interested in that. And yes, and if you want to create a great relationship with your body as well, I have the Radiate Guide too, so the link is in the description as well. So by putting attention on our body, we release these emotions and we are able to, even just by being in the present moment, we don't have to put attention on the body. So you could be doing anything in the present moment, like reading, or you could be washing the dishes, whatever it is, as long as you're present. And so by reading, we're more comfortable with being present rather than when you get into that track of watching things, listening to things all the time, then you find it very hard to do anything without having some kind of noise, whether it's music or whatever in the background, which may be preventing us from actually feeling the things that we need to feel. And when we don't feel the things that we need to feel, then we distract ourselves. Then we watch, like there's something we're feeling, and instead of feeling it, we'll go and check something or watch something because it's just a distraction. So you see how it's a cycle. And the reason I felt to talk about this today is because I watched this. I went on a date like a few months ago with this guy who was telling me about the metaverse and how he had bought this digital painting in the metaverse for $1,000. And I was like, what is this? Like, why would you do that? What is it for? And it's an investment. So apparently then that is going to go up, that the price of that painting. Kind of like, and I talked to my hairdresser about it last week or two, and she said it's like, just like crypto or something like that, like it's just an investment in trying to live outside of the Reserve Bank or the, I don't know, World Bank, whatever it is. I don't know about that. It could be. And she also explained with the metaverse that, you know, if you're unable to, say, walk, for example, but in the metaverse you can, or you're not able to go out, but in the metaverse you can, then that is something that is a positive thing. And I agree. I mean, that's a positive thing. And, like, if I could go and walk in the Swiss mountains in the metaverse right now and it would feel like actually walking in the Swiss mountains, then that's an amazing thing. But because I've learned about human design, I also know about neutrinos. So neutrinos are these infinitesimal particles of information that come in from other planets. So it is slower than the speed of light. So it is not, the particles are, I mean, so they're not just light. They are bits of information that comes, I think 70% comes from our sun, and then the other 30% comes from different planets in our solar system and different meteors and whatever is happening astrologically. So when we go outside, then we, our neutrinos in our body mix with the neutrinos in the atmosphere. And so we, this is how we receive information, and this is the connection to the quantum field. So the quantum field is the field that connects everyone in the universe. And you know that the heart is actually able, there are studies done that the heart is what they call in human design the magnetic monopole, is our point of attraction. But I also, I don't know if I have read this, but I believe that the heart is also our connection to the quantum field. Like, we are all connected to the quantum field, every cell in our body, and also not the cells in our body. So the part of us that is infinite, our, the light that is in us, our soul, this is all connected to the quantum field. And the quantum field, so like there were studies done where the heart can actually predict what is, so people were shown pictures of frightening things or happy things in an experiment, and what they discovered was that the heart responds to the pictures 4 seconds before the picture comes up, you know. So the heart actually knows what's on the picture before the brain, we people, are shown the picture. So how do they know that? Well, I experience it all the time with my intuition. So I know intuition, like I always ask my intuition how my inner being, my heart, my spleen, which is my human design authority, what I should do in different situations or where to park, you know, left or right, I say, straight or left, or that's what I, how I find parking spaces, I ask my heart, my spleen, my inner being. So you could try that too and see, but I definitely, meditation makes you really intuitive. That's another point about it, because it connects us to presence, and presence is the thing that is so potent, it's so powerful. So if you think about it, if you have, think about if you have, picture a lot of thoughts or a lot of sentences, okay? Picture a blank page with a lot of sentences on it. So imagine that's someone's mind with a lot of thoughts, and then imagine that blank page with one sentence on it. And that's someone who meditates or who practices presence, and then whatever thought they have, becomes even more potent. So that could be a positive thought of what you want to do, what you want to be, what you want to become. Then that thought is going to be a lot more potent than when you have many, many thoughts of random stuff as well. So that's why presence is so powerful, so potent. And getting back to the metaverse, so I watched this thing last night about it on YouTube and a clip about it, and they were saying that actually what Mark Zuckerberg or what the people at Facebook are doing is they want to collect as much data as possible on us so that they know us even better than we know ourselves, so that we can be given targeted advertising and buy, basically. And so they can then people was at the moment, if they can't target advertising by collecting as much data on us, then the advertising not as effective, then people won't want to purchase that advertising, and so they won't earn as much money. So I think they were saying something like Facebook, the value of Facebook dropped by $26 billion in a day last year or sometime recently. And that basically, you know, they started out as a content sharing, friend connecting platform. And then as each of these other social media platforms came into play, they diversified, and not all of the things that they diversified into were successful, but some were, like stories was very successful for Instagram and Facebook, Instagram's owned by Facebook. But companies like Apple and Google and YouTube, they prevent Facebook from having as much data as they would like. So it was basically saying something, I say the word basically a lot, don't I? They're saying something like Facebook is a software and Google and Apple are hardware, and Facebook wants to be a hardware as well. And so they can collect and they can run their own thing and do whatever they want, so collect whatever data they want. So when Apple brought out the iOS 14, they prevented that because there was that option whether you want that certain site, whatever site you're on, to collect this data about you or not. And so that prevented Facebook and other companies from collecting all that data. So basically, Apple is the hardware and Facebook is the software, and Facebook want to be the hardware and the software so they can do what they want and collect that data. So that's what the metaverse is about. They're trying to make a platform that people will want to buy into or get on, and then they will be able to collect as much data as they want and sell it and make money. So I am not into that, and I'm also not into this idea of living in a virtual world, because first, yeah, the neutrinos, like that's what makes us intelligent, is going outside and breathing in the atmosphere. That's what makes us powerful. That's what changes us. You must have experienced that when you go outside, you go for a walk or something, you move your body, we store our issues in our tissues, as they say in yoga, and so the emotions come up. And then we also breathe in and we have a change in perspective. We have new information that we take in, and it transforms us every time we leave the house and we breathe in the fresh air. And I'm aware that not everywhere has fresh air, but it still has neutrinos. So it's another reason to go outside. And you know what else I learned is that spending 20 minutes on social media is good for connection, but more than that increases anxiety. And so that's another reason to not spend too long on social media and to, you know, retreat into your own world of presence and real connection and fun. And I know that people, you know, it's like what you focus on grows. So if you focus on connecting with people in real life, then that will grow too. You know, there are places out there like the meetup platforms or other events that you can find on Facebook. I'm not saying Facebook is all bad. There's a lot of positive effects of it as well. But my friend and I have been discovering that there's so much cool stuff happening in Perth that we didn't even know about, but it is on Facebook, it's on events, so there's a lot of positive things that have come out of it that we can use these platforms, these tools, to create those connections or to find those connections and then go out in real life and actually, you know, be with people, be in the world, have adventures in the real world, and then read a book when we want to relax, or do our social media in moderation. So I think that's all I had to say on this topic. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave me a review, and I'll see you next week for another story, another rant, another of my expressing myself. And I hope you enjoyed it too. And I'd love to know what you think about what I've said. What's your opinion? Be happy for you to contact me on Instagram or on Facebook or anywhere that you can find me. My website, all the links are below in the description. But leave me a review. I would love that. And it would help more people to find this podcast too. So share it, connect. Go out and enjoy life. Lots of love to you, and I'll see you on the next episode. Bye.